Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's the SCB Steelers Podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And what's that George Thorogood song, I Drink Alone? I'm actually glad that Freak's here, Burner's in, and hopefully some of a few other of our regulars, because currently I'm doing this thing solo. I don't know where the fuck these guys are. I mean, Ian, I kind of knew was 50-50 tonight, but as far as Ben and Scarps, I have no idea. Ben's probably still trying to figure out how to plug his computer in. Scarps, you know, hey, he's a new father. I mean, I get that, but, I'm just glad to see that Freak has changed his bong water for tonight. I feel really kind of special. I mean, it's a special night when the bong water gets changed. And, you know, Jennifer's here as well. Welcome, Jennifer. Holy shit, Scarpizio is here to save my ass. Let's see, where is he? There he is. Holy shit. Thank God, man. I thought I was going to have to run this thing by myself tonight.
Oh, it's okay. I have a little friend here. I have a little how'd you say hi?
Oh, geez. Oh, man. Little whoop,
there
friend.
It is. Come
I was
way.
Afraid you were going to unzip your fly or something.
No, I'm like,
all right.
So, thank God. He might make some noise, but you know, he's
no
already
problem. How is the little man?
I mean, he's living life, man. He just got fed, just got changed, you know.
Good for him.
Just let out a massive fart. You probably could have felt in Oil City, but so be it, you know.
So in other words, he's had a night very similar to myself. I've eaten, I've been changed, and I've had gas. I mean, what it doesn't get any better than that, man.
I mean, it could be worse. I'm telling you that much. So,
it certainly could. But welcome aboard, buddy. And I have no idea where Ben is. He must be getting a few reps in, last minute reps or something. But good question by Freak. We'll cover that once the group's point of
Steelers
view.
Steelers Freak. Cheers. Cheers to everybody. Yep. You know, Steelers Freak appreciates the old soul, old school rock. I mean, you know what? We got a great crew on
the
podcast. We got a great following. It's wonderful.
We
love
really
you all.
Do. And you are a regular, are a great bunch of regulars, and we are very blessed. When I started this little blog like 12 or 13 years ago, I didn't really anticipate this kind of thing. But believe me, it's awesome. Awesome. Love it. And you guys are a big part of it. So OTAs are underway right now. Steelers have been on the practice fields. And, you know, the OTAs are not like they were at one time where you could actually, bump the other guy. You know, now it's very limited in terms of the physicality, a lot of agility type stuff. I mean, you know, you can get after it in terms of blocking dummies and sleds and things like that, but you're not going to be bumping other human beings. That's just all part of the collective bargaining agreement that's been done for a while. So
unless you're the Patriots.
Yeah, that's right. I see the Pats got smacked. That wasn't about, like getting physical, was it?
I don't think so, but I'm pretty sure every year for the past, you know, decade, there's been at least one team that was penalized for some violation or whatever it was. You know, it's just funny because like they're known for, you know, obviously we understand Spygate and Deflategate or whatever. But you know, it's just, I mean, like you can't write this, like you can't write it any better, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know, when Steelers Freak, hell yeah, and Big Ben's Burner. This is the Lagunitas Hazy Wonder IPA. Their variety pack is wonderful. And it has a dog on every can, and we have two pups, and then I got this little buddy here. But yeah, like it's just like if you asked any casual NFL fan, like what team cheats, they'd be like, "Oh, the Patriots." And literally, like the news breaks, and it's like they're you know whatever.
Oh yeah, you know what'll be funny is if let's say Belichick retires next year, it'll be really interesting to see in New England if there are similar incidents like they've had over the last 20 years. Because I'm guessing there probably won't be.
You know, it's funny. It's funny because, I mean, obviously earlier this year, or well, a month ago or whatever it is now.
Yeah.
They didn't cheat, but you know, they did something that if the Steelers didn't benefit from it, Steelers fans would have been pissed. But
yeah,
by trading with the Steelers to move back and essentially not letting the Jets get Broderick Jones, and the Jets were like, oh, we weren't taking him anyway. Of course, that's a good PR answer.
Right,
but
right,
I'd be like, if that hurt the Steelers, Steelers fans would have been pissed, obviously. But I agree with you though. Like I wonder, like, when Belichick does hang it up, and you know, is it going to be? I mean, we'll look before him. They had success there. They never won a Super Bowl, but,
right?
You know,
right.
Who? Bill Parcells. Pete Carroll. Yep. Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe. You know, we talk. You know, we already got a tangent here, but
go for it. That's what we're all about in the offseason.
You know, Matt Ryan. He didn't retire yet, but
right.
He said he's gonna, like, whatever. So he's sort of in limbo. And I it was like, I saw it. I was like, this is probably last week, but they were like, is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer? And I'm like, no, he's not. Like, he's not a Hall of Famer. You know, he has one MVP, which is fantastic.
Yep.
he's one MVP, which is fantastic. He has great numbers, but he's not a Hall of Famer in my book. So getting back to that Patriots of the night, Drew Bledsoe had really good numbers. He, you know, like, and it wasn't like they had a great running back in Curtis Martin. Yeah. Can't forget Dave Meggett. Remember Dave Meggett?
No, that little Meggett. Watch him go. Yeah.
And Coates, Vincent Brisby. I've random. This is Jonah. See, this is what men do when they get older. They just name random players that they remember.
Yes. So. No, that's very true. We do. I mean, God, the name. My wife asked me that all the time. How is it you can't remember to do this or this, but you can remember, like, the starting lineup from the 73 Steelers? I'm like, you know what? Because I'm more interested in the 73 Steelers than I am anything else. So, sorry, honey. You know, I don't know. It's just, I agree with you about Bledsoe. I mean, pretty big numbers. He had, if I remember correctly, didn't he have a couple nice seasons in Buffalo? Like, decent,
you know? Yeah. And that was like, that was when the Bills were, like, always hovered around that 7-9, 8-8. I think him and here's a name, Eric Molds, him and Eric Molds connected a few times. But yeah, I want to say he was the quarterback of the Bills that one year they smashed the Patriots, like, the first week.
Yes, I think.
And then
was.
The Patriots won the Super Bowl that year.
Right. Like, that was like 31-0 in the opener.
Yeah,
that
might have been that. That might have been the one where Brady got smashed. I can't remember who it was that hit him. It's like his helmet came flying off. That was very, very, very long ago. But
oh man, it is. But he did. He had a really nice career. And you know, to Jen's point about the meme or the photo of Juju and the Pats fan and Juju flipping him off and.
Oh,
now,
yeah,
Juju's
I remember
a Patriot.
That.
It's further proof that time moves on and loyalty is not what it used to be. And I'm not just knocking Juju, because there's plenty of players in the NFL. They're not worried about what's on the side of their helmet. They're worried about the money that goes into their paycheck. And I get that. I totally get it. I think there are still some loyal guys out there. Don't get me wrong. But I think that's an antiquated notion.
Loyalty is also a two-way street. Yeah. You know, I've talked about this on the show, and I've worked with many players that, you know, have always been like, I want to retire a Steeler.
Yeah.
Until the Steelers don't offer you that much money, or as much money as you wanted, and another team does. But you know, at the end of the day, and I can't stress this enough. It's a business, and we are entertained by this business. And
we are doing what we are doing because of that business. Yeah.
It is funny though. It is funny about Juju doing that. And now he's working for the Emperor.
Yeah, right. So. Right. He's now one of the Emperor's guards, you know, and I can't remember what they were called specifically, but my Star Wars.
I've seen the movies. I don't know enough.
Knowledge is dropping quickly. You know, again, OTAs are underway, and good to see TJ Watt out there and not falling into a swimming pool. I mean, we've all been there, and I give him a lot of credit for putting that out there and kind of making fun of himself, because he didn't have to, and he did. It was funny. And let's also just real quickly be grateful that he didn't hit himself in the head or something stupid, and have
or tore his sack. You know?
Oh my God! Yeah, can you imagine just some freak kind of accident? Just trying to clean your pool and you go in. But no, he's back and looks good by all accounts, as most of these guys will this time of year. You know, you can't get over the size of Darnell Washington. He just looks like he's a man amongst boys, even though he's one of the boys, you know, cause he's a young man. And, but in terms of personnel right now, the one thing we know for sure is that Isaac Simolu, he was at left guard, and that was something that we talked a lot about in the offseason once we acquired him, was how were they going to work that lineup, if you will, because James Daniels traditionally a right guard and center, and Simolu at Philadelphia had played right guard, so you know, somebody was going to have to give there. And so as of right now, and guys, it's really, really early, very, very early. It looks like he's at left. And, you know, it also looks like they're going to make Broderick Jones earn it too. I think he's definitely behind Dan Moore right now, just in some early reps and stuff like that. So, you know, these are the things to look for. And obviously I think the most important thing out of all this OTA stuff, no injuries, and any injuries that are going to happen are going to be the soft tissue type things, the hamstrings, all that stuff. But God forbid some guy blows out an Achilles, blows out an ACL. I thought I saw some. Didn't somebody out west just do that? One of the teams out west. I thought I saw an injury out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been on the Twitter sphere or whatever, Snap Face or
yeah. Well, I can't
Insta book. But no, I don't know. But yeah, you are right. There's always a couple big name players that season ends before it even begins.
I'm gonna go back to something that Freak asked right at the beginning about what a successful season looks like. I'll let you take that first, Ryan. What does a successful 2023 season look like for the Steelers? I'm just going to preface by saying a successful season ends with a championship. Okay. But I understand that there are other levels to look at too when you look at the big picture of what the team is. So I'll just say that as well. But go ahead. What would you say?
I mean, you're absolutely right. When you're at this level professionally, your goal is to win it all. And for years and years, Art Rooney, once Dan started talking less, what's up, Ben? Art would always say, you know, our first goal is to win the division, mm-hmm. and then win the Super Bowl. And I always liked that. I always liked that because winning the division doesn't guarantee you a bye week or whatever, but but a guarantee, like it's a respect thing. It's a
dominance. It guarantees you a home game.
Yeah, it guarantees you a home game. So I always appreciated that, and they haven't quite said that recently, and that's fine. I'm not worried about that because it's not like they don't want to win. But let's be honest here. They're not ready to contend yet, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. That they're, you know, they went 9-8 last year after being 2-7 or 2-6.
They're 2-7.
2-7. Okay. 2-7. I had it right. And I think we said this on the show. We looked at that schedule and we said, you know damn well Mike Tomlin's gonna rattle off, you know, 4 or 5 in a row or 5 out of 6, and look what happened in 9-8.
I mean, I hate to toot my own horn here, but I'm going to. I said at the beginning of the season they could go 1-5 or 2-4.
Yeah.
And Steelers Nation is going to be apoplectic and want Tomlin's head, and they're still going to win 9 games. Mm-hmm. And they did exactly fucking that.
Well, that's because you just got lucky.
No, it's because they had a really fucking hard schedule, and they had a below average quarterback to start the season out. I'm sorry, Mitch, you're a nice guy and all, but you played like shit. They have a terrible offensive coordinator. The offensive line was not good. They had a lot of things that were working against them. And then on top of that, TJ Watt tore his pec, which I didn't see that coming
in week one.
But
So to answer your question, Steelers freak, I agree that they do. They need to win a playoff game. And
you think they're going to do it this year? Because
Just to preface, Freak asked in the comments right at the beginning of the show. He wanted to know from us what we think a successful season would look like in 2023.
So,
a successful season, I agree with Ryan, would look like a playoff win. I think this is a playoff team, but I'm not sure. I think they're a wild card team, and they're going to be playing like a 2 or a 3 seed.
Yep.
And the AFC is tough this year. Yep.
You have to, and obviously the non losing season streak is we talk ad nauseum about it, and I mock it, but I also respect it and appreciate it. But
we all do. Yeah.
But I mean, if they go nine and eight and they get a wild card, and they, let's say it's they go to Jacksonville and win, which they usually don't do, but or something like that, whatever. Right. To me, that's a successful season. So we sit there and say like, oh, winning a Super Bowl is the only, I get that. But also like when you got a young team, you have to be realistic and acknowledge
what they have there. Yes. And people every fucking year, by people, I mean, Steelers fans believe that the Steelers are this talent juggernaut. Guess what? They're not. And they haven't been for a while. Like the 2019 season where they rattled off 11 wins in a row. They did that because was it 2020?
Yeah,
it
was
2020.
It was 2020.
They 2019 was Mason because Ben ripped his friggin' elbow. They did that basically on Ben's back. Sorry to put it that way, but he was smart. He was running his own offense.
Touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would go to the line. He was writing plays up in the dirt. He was telling guys at the line what routes to run. The defense knew what routes everybody was running, and they still couldn't defend it. Yes, we also had a very good defense, which didn't hurt matters. Well, I don't know about very good, but good defense in 2020. Yeah. And then, somebody figured out that Wink Martindale figured out that the Steelers offense was all predicated upon the short pass.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured out how to defend it. And in that long week we had where we were supposed to play on Thursday and we didn't play until the following Wednesday because of COVID. Yeah,
that was a mess.
Yep. And all of that was, that was bullshit. I mean, that was John Harbaugh trying to stall as long as he possibly could because he had a bunch of guys who were out making excuses and the NFL placating him.
Yep.
That was total bullshit.
I would also say too, is as much as it was Harbs, the league didn't want to see RG3 or Trace McSorley. And they ultimately got both of them.
Right.
Because Lamar wasn't cleared in time. I've already seen the sunshine and rainbows, crew already being 13-4 and this and that. And I'm like,
Kenny Pickett's going to be an MVP candidate. I don't know if you've heard that, but it's definitely true.
I'd love it if it is.
You know what? I would too, but you don't go from 7 TDs and 9 picks to MVP in one season. That would be not only unprecedented, it would be fucking incredible. And it ain't happening.
That would be the literally single greatest turnaround player-wise ever.
Huge.
Ever. I agree with you. And he has Matt Canada. That is not fucking happening. Yeah. I'll be impressed if he throws for 3,500 yards. I'm serious. I'll be impressed because the run game is going to be improved, so they're going to lean on it more. Yes. Mike Tomlin's going to go, yeah, okay. Your passing schemes, Matt, not great. So we're not going to lean on those. We're going to lean on the run game. We're going to set things up with play action, and we're going to throw less.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I think that's what all this has been geared to. To just get back to Freak's question, and I'll move on. But you know, for me, this team has the potential to get to a playoff game, and I think that's good. I also think it has to also be accompanied by improvement by Kenny Pickett. It's got to be there. The offensive line, for what we've invested in it, has to show improvement. So, and obviously if you get to the postseason, then it's more than likely those things are coming to fruition. So that's what I would say is a quote unquote successful season.
I think they're another offseason, another draft, and another round of free agency away from being a contending team.
Yes, I would agree with that.
One thing I would say, last thing about this, maybe it's related, maybe it isn't, but this is anything goes. Cam Hayward's window is closing
rapidly.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say this in a negative way, but with TJ Watt's window is also closing. And how long do you think he could realistically keep up the production that he's doing and staying healthy?
That's the hard part because his playing style is such that it makes it difficult. Those guys go 110 miles an hour all the time. By those guys, I mean he and his brother. What he does have going for him is that he's got his brother's experience that he can lean on. His brother can say to him, look, don't come back early. When you're injured, make sure you take care of it this way. Take it seriously. Like, a pec tear is a big fucking deal.
You're talking about Derek, right?
No, I'm talking about JJ.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, we're going to sign JJ this week.
I was just going to say, JJ is going to be next to him in the huddle. Yeah, so
he's really not. But, you know, if something should happen, you know, he's got his brother he can talk to. And so far as I know, Derek's still a free agent, which honestly think kind of sucks. I mean, I know the Steelers paid him $10 million and all, and that's great. But
sorry, Bob.
So you're just going to move. You're just going to assume Connor Hayward can play special teams and fullback, and you're going to put him in there.
Well, we're going to talk about that rule change later. And I think that for guys like Derek Watt, that hurts them
badly
because I know there's still punt plays and I know that
you can fair catch on a punt too.
Exactly. And I know there's a variety of special teams plays, but there is not going to be any reasoning for paying a person to purely play on special teams like that anymore. Just my opinion. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Well, Watson year seven, the pec thing always scares me because a lot of guys have struggled to come all the way back from those types of things.
I think that if Watt can stay healthy, that's an if, right? Yep. I think if he can, and like I was saying, I think he's got his brother's experience to lean back on. In terms of staying healthy and recovering from nagging little injuries, saying, you know, his brother can say, okay, here's where I screwed up. Here's what I did wrong. Here's what I learned, you know, and lean on that experience. And that helps.
Yeah, it does.
If he can stay healthy, he can probably do this for another 4 or 5 years. If you look at pass rushers who are productive, I mean, Joey Porter had a 20-sack season after he left the Steelers.
Yeah, that was a big year, man. Yeah, Miami.
That's true. I think the signing of Golden this week is important to Watts.
Oh, hell yeah.
Health, because I think if they have faith in Golden, which they should as a veteran guy, then I think that might add games to his career, Watts' career. If they don't feel the fall off is terrible. Now, I'm not saying you put Golden in there for, you know, two, three series in a row. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying
if he's the hot hand, you know. Well,
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. But just to be able to get TJ that breather when he needs it, because as you alluded to, the dude goes 110 miles an hour all the time. You can't tell him to slow down. That's just not who he is.
No. And Marcus Golden is not Jameer Jones.
Right. Right. And I think that's a big difference.
Or Malik Reed. Right. Yeah. Malik Reed was, I mean, I get it. It was desperation. They didn't really have any other choice, but Malik Reed was not.
Yeah.
Marcus Golden there. And I hate to be the guy that predicts, cause Marcus Golden can get you 5 to 6 sacks a year. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Marcus
Golden
should have, I think, so too.
My only question about Marcus Golden is he'll have a fuck ton of pressures even when he doesn't get sacks. But my question is, can he drop into coverage? Can he do that? Can he learn all the nuances of the defense? You know, or is he just strictly going to be a guy who rushes on every snap?
The Steelers, to my knowledge, they have been saying really since the beginning that they are trying to get a deal done with Alex Highsmith.
They made an offer.
Yeah, an offer has been made, and
doesn't mean he's going to accept
it. Right, and you know, I as we've discussed on here, I think the thing that he's got to decide, he being Alex Highsmith, is, you know, and he's made the right statements in terms of being Steelers fans. You know, he wants to be in Pittsburgh and so on and so forth, but at the same time, he's not going to take the so-called hometown discount at his age either.
His one shot.
Right.
Free agency, I don't want to say this year, but next year might be his one shot at big money.
Right.
One time, you know, like Bud when he left.
Yeah.
Same deal. It was one shot. He had one time.
Yep.
Steelers were like, hey, man, you're going to
one
make
shot,
more.
One
you're
opportunity.
Gonna, yeah. You're going to make one. Yeah. You're going to make more on the.
If
yeah,
there's any M&M fans out there.
You're going to make more on the open market than we can afford to pay you. We know you're not coming back.
Yep.
We're not offended. We hope you're not. We're not even going to make an offer because it's ridiculous.
You know, there's also something, and here's what I'm going to say. And I didn't work with Alex Highsmith, but I've heard he's very nice dude, very active in the community, just like a good teammate. There comes a point too when you want to carve out your own legacy. Yeah. You don't want to just be, you know, Batman to TJ or Robin to Batman, whatever. Right. You know what the fuck I'm saying. Sorry about that. Anyway, that being said, it doesn't strike me as Alex Highsmith cares about that as much as he cares about actually just winning. I'm not saying that Bud felt that way or I'm just saying, Ben, you're right. Like, you get a lot of times in this league, you get one shot to really cash in, especially if you're not a first round pick. Bud was a first round pick, but you get one shot to really get that, to get some guaranteed money, you know, set yourself up for life, you know, maybe have a decent career. It sounds to me like if I was to bet on it, I think Alex would not the hometown discount, but I think Alex would want to stay here because
he would take less to stay here, but you know, not a lot less.
Right.
Yeah.
Define less, that's the question.
Okay. So I don't see them coming to a deal this offseason. I hope they do, but I don't see it necessarily happening. Mm-hmm. But then next year, hopefully they do.
And Ben, you know this better than me. If we start to see news about restructured deals for a few of those,
looking to make some room to.
Yeah, then that tells me
to
it's
add
coming.
Some people, right? You know, and that would be the first target. Freak, you mentioned that they didn't have depth in the years previous to this. They're still lacking depth at several positions.
Yeah.
Most notably safety and corner. The depth there is, you know, getting better. Yeah. But it's not good.
It's subpar in my mind right
there
now.
There's good depth along both lines. There's improved depth at outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. The depth at inside linebacker is not great. And Cole Holcomb had surgery on his foot this year during the offseason.
Yep.
He still hasn't recovered, so they're not sure how quickly they're going to start him out of the gate. I think there are some areas where the depth could be improved. It certainly is a lot better along the lines, no question. Mm-hmm. They need more depth at wide receiver, for that matter. I mean, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to play Allen at slot? Are they going to, you know, what are they going to do? Who's going to be their kick returner? I guess you don't really need one anymore. But if you needed a kick returner,
that's a good point.
Yeah, if you needed a kick returner, you know, what would you do?
I'm talking about Beach. Come here.
That's the other thing that sucks about that, man, is, you know, kickoff and punt returns are exciting plays. And they killed it. It's like, why the fuck?
I think we all want to talk about this, so let's get to it. The NFL. Go for it. The NFL this week, the owners voted to allow a kick returner to make a fair catch. Now, you could always make a fair catch on a kickoff either way, but now if you are inside the 25-yard line and you make a fair catch, then the ball is spotted at the 25, whether you make that fair catch at the 23 or the 2. Now it's going to go out to the 25. And I wrote a piece today that I thought Andy Reid's very simple comments were spot on, in terms of, you know, where does it stop? And then he made the comment about, you know, eventually it's going to be flag football. And that is my absolute worst nightmare, but that's way down the road. We'll get to that later. So how does this, Scarps, how does this rule then affect the way a coach might approach special teams units and certainly kickoff team, kick return team?
You need to call Danny and ask him. I'm serious.
Yeah, I mean, on the outside looking in, right. I don't value special teamers like I used to. You know, I I'm not even talking just, you know, kick coverage or punt coverage. You know, I'm talking, you know, do you have a guy? That's the other thing. Like, I don't know. Like, you're taking away essentially one of the most exciting plays in the game. And I say that because the fucking start of the earmuffs, the start of the game is a kickoff. And then the start at right after halftime is a kickoff. Yeah. And like, you're basically taking this away, and I mean, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you catch the ball at the 1 and you only get to the 13 when you could have just fair caught it at the 1 and got to the 25, I'm cutting your ass right there. This is a big deal. People might not think that, but I said earlier, like, you know, the Derek Watts of the world, or yes, even like, Matthew Slater still on the Patriots? You know, bless his heart. You know, like, that dude, like, literally, yeah, his special teams ace.
Pro bowler,
like,
every year.
Like, and he, I mean, his contract isn't that big, but they paid Derek Watt like $4 million a year to play like 15 snaps.
Yeah.
You know, to get 15 touches. That's probably more touches than he even had on offense. But like, he was really good on teams. And, you know, I don't necessarily ever think it's going to be flag football, but you know, you might start seeing teams use a kicker specifically for field goals and a kicker specifically for kickoffs. Because if you can get a guy, here's a guy to kick it really high and land it right at the 15, you know, like, but then again,
there are already kickers you can fair catch it though.
That's the thing. Like, there's like, right. and then Ian brought up, you know, Ian, wherever you are, bless your heart as well. You know, you talk about squib kicks and this and that, and it's like, but you know, if you don't do that accurately, you know, it's going out of bounds or it's going too far or whatever. But also, you can still just fall on the ball and you can give yourself up. Like, there's way too many outs now mm-hmm. on a kickoff when it used to either be, you know, you either run it out or you don't. And now there's just so many different options. And I think it's bad for the game. It's going to cost good football players' jobs.
Yes, I think that's going to be a residual effect of this. I hate the strategy that it's eliminating as well, because if I do have that kicker, and most NFL kickers today do have that ability to kind of get it high, let their team run down, and let, you know, force the returner to catch the ball around the 2, 3, 4 yard line, and pin that guy in, and maybe he gets to the 13, like you were saying, Scarves, or the 14. Your offensive play calling is different from the 14-yard line than it's going to be from the 25-yard line.
Well, not with Matt Canada. It's going to be run, short of the sticks. But no, you're right.
Touché. Yes. And to me, that takes away that strategy of the game. And the other thing is yes, the kickoff has become a little boring because guys bang it out of the end zone so often, but it's still an extremely important play, an exciting play. I mean, right. It can completely flip momentum.
It's notable scores. That every special teams coach in the league was against this.
Every single one.
Yep. All of them.
Yep. He called for a fair catch.
I want to point out that Mike Tomlin is on the competition committee.
He is.
And my understanding is that he's in favor of this rule. Thinks that it enhances the safety of the players.
Oh, I couldn't disagree.
Or because he hasn't had a kickoff return in 35 years.
No, I mean, it definitely helps.
Stephon Logan was the last one to do it.
I thought it was Alan Rossum.
Alan Rossum? Was Alan Rossum after Stephon Logan?
No, Rossum was before. I don't. Stephon Logan never went to the house. He got close.
He had one for the Steelers.
I don't think he did. We talked about this last. Somebody look it up.
All right. Well, I wish
it was Alan Rossum in 2007.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, yes, it's an exciting play. Yes, they're taking it away. Derek Watt never made $4 million a year. He made about $3.25 million.
It was about three.
Sorry.
It was about $3.25 million. He made $10 million he made just under $10 million for three seasons.
Mm-hmm. Which is still quite good.
Well, yeah, it's good money. There's no question. Yeah. I mean, the guy's, you know, he's set. He really is. He's okay now. And if he plays someplace this year, he'll play for more than $1 million. There's no question.
Yeah. I don't like the entirety of the rule. I understand player safety. We are told this all the time. It is beyond frustrating to me to hear the league talk about it, because let's be honest, this mess of Thursday night games, the flexing the Thursday night games,
that is bullshit.
Total bullshit.
And the Steelers could be impacted this year.
Yes.
The week 14 game.
Yep.
But the league has to give a 28-day minimum public notice that they are shifting the game from Thursday to Sunday, for example. Or, I mean, hypothetically, let's just say that the Patriots suck this year, which I think they're probably going to. They could move them out of that spot and move somebody else in.
Now, the 28-day notice, though, only applies to those weeks 14 through 18, though, doesn't it? The other times it's just 14 days, I think.
It's 14 days for flexing Sunday afternoon to Sunday night and vice versa.
Okay.
But that's not that big a deal because fans that are traveling will be in town that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end of the world.
No.
It's kind of a pain in the ass because some people want to fly back the same day. I cannot fucking imagine why, but some people do. Yeah. So, like, if it suddenly turns into a night game and they got to change their tickets. But now, shit, man, You bought your plane tickets. You're ready to go. Oh yeah, yeah. The NFL. Yeah, we're actually gonna play that game on Thursday, or instead of Sunday, or vice versa.
Right.
That's total bullshit.
Well, and I look and
Art,
at
Art to his credit voted against this.
He did. He was one of a handful that did. And I just look at, you know, the fan who maybe has never been to a game before and has saved up, has planned, right, has set aside vacation time to do it. And then all of a sudden, oh, sorry, game got switched. And you just don't have the ability to
horseshit, you know, man.
I just don't like, and let's be honest, we know what this is about. It's about TV money.
Yeah, it is.
That's, I mean, you know,
and granted, okay, it was Mike Florio who said there's nothing in this rule that keeps the league from switching teams. Let's just say the Patriots were terrible week 14. Right. The Steelers are not. The Steelers are at home. The Steelers are a good team. They're national draw.
Yep.
Let's swap out. Let's have the Patriots play somebody else, and we'll look at the other opponents the Steelers have remaining, and we'll move them in instead. I think that's a pretty far-fetched possibility. Yeah, it would all have to line up because the Patriots would have to be able to play someone that they still had remaining on their schedule too.
Yeah.
But, you know Florio, he's got to put shit like that out there.
Yes, and you're needing a hell of a lot of stars to align for.
Yeah,
for
I mean, it's possible, yeah. But
– Yep, yep.
Hey, Aaron, what's up?
Yeah, I'm just frustrated with these rule changes. What, Ben, explain the what the league did with this third quarterback thing, because I think there's some confusion about what could have been done.
It's the old rule.
Well, I agree.
Okay, look, the old rule was you had 46 guys that were active.
Right.
One of them was a third quarterback. He was an emergency quarterback, and once he went into the game, he had to stay in the game. Then they came along and said, well, what if we just said 46 players? And, you know, if we want to dress the third quarterback, we can. It's coach's discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And the league said, okay, sure. And now they're going back to a third quarterback, but he's a 47th player. Okay? So you still get 46 guys that are active. You have 46 players that are active. You have 40. The 47th is your quarterback. The only thing they did differently is this. For the third quarterback to come in, the designated third quarterback, both quarterbacks in front of him have to be injured.
Mm-hmm.
And once he comes in, they cannot go back in. So, for example, the Saints with their fucking guy, what's his name?
Derek Carr.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Their trick quarterback. They can't designate him the third quarterback and swap him in and out at quarterback. He's going to have to come in, declare himself eligible, and then audible to another position. Or they've got to designate him as the number two.
Correct.
One of the two.
Why not allow all three quarterbacks to be eligible players? What's the reason for?
I think that they did this as a compromise because having 47 players available, sometimes you're not going to have enough healthy bodies to put 47 guys out there. And you're going to have to bring guys in off the street or guys off the practice squad, right? Belichick just wants to make it 53 guys. Everybody's eligible.
Right.
On Sunday, for example, right?
Yep.
And other teams are like, uh-uh. No. No. Well, this just gives the healthier team the advantage on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's no.
Uh-uh. It's not okay.
Let's all be on the same playing field. We generally have about 40, 45 guys that are healthy. You know, let's keep it at that. So there was resistance to pushing that envelope.
Right.
This was the compromise. Fine, you can have a 47th guy, but he's your third quarterback and he can only play in extraordinary circumstances. And once he comes in, he can't come out unless he gets hurt too.
Right.
And then I don't know.
What if I had a situation where I had a player like Cordell Stewart? Okay.
Oh yeah.
A great athlete. And but I'm not real comfortable with him being my number two. And I'd like to use him. Right. Can I list him as a wide receiver?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what will happen with Hill. They list him as a tight end.
Yes.
So if you have an athlete like that, you could get away with it by listing him as a variety, you know,
anything. Yeah, else? I mean,
variety position.
He still has to declare himself eligible.
Truth. Right. Yes.
For the snap.
True.
And then, you know, there'll be some trickery pre-snap. Mm-hmm. He'll line up behind the center. Okay. You know, it's just like the Wildcat. The Wildcat's not going away. It's the same shit, same premise.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I think it's fascinating. And once again, the NFL is a reactionary league because of what happened in the NFC title game.
Right.
You know,
so you've got Derek Carr and Jameis Winston.
Right.
I don't see, I guess you could name Taysom Hill your second quarterback if it benefited your game plan and make Winston your third guy.
Right.
And then in the event that Carr gets hurt, what are you going to say? That Hill's got a fucking hangnail? I don't know.
Well, that's
or what, or do you manipulate the system and just say, hey, he can't go in, he's hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if it's a head injury, I know there's like an independent, you know, neurological consultant, but you could just be like, yeah, he's got a bad hammy. He can't play. And then you just skip over a guy. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how the Belichicks of the world manipulate this.
Freak. You know. They sold this flexing of the games late season when they were bidding the Thursday night package. Okay. And Amazon won the rights. They had the winning bid, but the NFL told them that they wanted to do this. They sold it as a feature of the Thursday night package.
Right.
Being able to flex better games into that spot, which makes it more valuable for the party that's broadcasting it. So yeah. The long and the short of it is this: they're getting extra revenue, but that revenue is already figured in. I mean, Amazon bought the rights. They got to pay it now contractually. The NFL is not making more money on Thursdays as a result, but they lose credibility if they don't include the possibility of flexing games to Amazon, who now owns that package.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is they had some absolutely stinker games last year.
They had fucking awful games last year.
There were some awful Thursday night football game. I mean, you had the Tennessee Jacksonville game with Josh Dobbs starting. No offense, Josh Dobbs, but I mean, come on.
We saw Josh play extended time versus Oakland. That was great. The MRI machine. Fuck.
Yeah. You know, Mike Tomlin the other day was talking about the schedule, the fact that he feels like they really need to get off to a fast start.
They better, because their schedule is easy
right
at the beginning.
Right.
And at the end, it's fucking brutal.
And that's, I think, exactly what he was pointing at when you look at the end of that schedule. They need to be in a position where they have a little bit of room, because if they find themselves in must-win situations those last 3-4 weeks, going to be tough. Going to be tough. Yeah. What is, Ryan, you might know this, what is the best start of a Mike Tomlin team other than obviously 2020 when they started 11-0? I mean, he hasn't always had the best starts, has he?
You know, well, you can't do quarters anymore because there's 17 games. Mm-hmm. But, I'm 2010. They were 3-1. I have Rain Man tendencies here. But 2010.
I knew you did. That's why I called on you.
2010. They were 3-1 heading into the bye. They were 12-4 that year. They were 3-1 after four, and 2011, they were 2-2 after four. Mm-hmm. I'll bore everybody. I'm trying to think of the best start. 2010, they were really 20. That was my first year there. They went to the Super Bowl.
The Green Bay year. Good. Yeah.
And they were good. They were good that year.
Remember those first four games? We were all nervous about it, and they started out 2-2.
Yeah.
You know,
that was fun football to watch, well, too.
You didn't have that, been the first four, right?
Right.
That defense was so special, was man.
Stellar.
And I know that 08 team, that 08 defense gets all the love and deservedly so.
It was even better.
Oh my God. Like, I remember, like, the Falcons were not bad at all, and they held them to like 3 field goals. Then they went to Tennessee, and Chris Johnson was probably the best running back in the game, and they shut him down.
Yeah, that was a really good rushing defense.
Yes,
really.
Yeah,
it was.
Oh my God!
Smacked Tampa Bay around, and then that fourth game was at home against Baltimore, and Joe Flacco threw a late TD to TJ Houshmandzadeh. It's weird. I remember certain things, but anyway,
TJ, who's your mama?
Yeah,
TJ, who's your mama?
You know, I would say. Tomlin, except for the past couple years, in 2013, is usually they usually hover around 500
those first
for the
four
first
weeks.
10 games or so.
Yeah, and then he unleashes hell in December.
That was a fun press conference.
That was next a week. Fire
Steelers.
Yeah, they started 6-2 that year too. Yeah.
They were 6-2. That was a meltdown.
That was a meltdown.
It was bad.
Yeah. But he's not wrong. They do. They got to take advantage of the schedule. They got to get off to a good start.
Yeah.
Even that
49ers game, you know.
Yes.
Who's playing quarterback? Does anybody know?
No. No, I was
reading that. So Purdy, we don't know, but Trey Lance is training with Patrick Mahomes, which whatever, man, I don't have no idea what that even means. I don't think Trey Lance is very good.
No,
but I saw the other day that Shanahan has a lot of confidence in Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold has had
Sam Darnold still playing.
Unbelievable.
Well,
holy shit, that guy's made like $300 million too.
No, he hasn't made that
okay,
much
I'm
money.
Exaggerating, but
no,
made
I know
a
I
fuck
know.
Ton of money.
No, but what's odd about it is that he beat the Steelers in 2019 when he was with the Jets.
Yeah.
And then that Panthers game last year was a lot closer than I think it should have been. And I thought Darnold made some nice
he
throws.
He made some good throws in the second half.
And we always talk about, you know, well, Purdy's a system QB, or you know, it's all about a system with Shanahan.
Yeah,
and it's
smart.
Like, well, fuck. I mean, Sam Darnold has a lot of, you know, has a lot of tools, you know, and if Shanahan could be the QB whisperer, like, that's not as easy as you think. So anything can happen week one. But, yeah, if they beat the 49ers, who I think are still a really good team.
Absolutely.
That's a huge. But then look at last year. They beat Cincinnati in such an awkward way, and they sucked ass, although TJ got hurt. But still.
You know, Darnold's funny because Darnold made
$54 million.
He'll make some great throws, and then he just throws up a duck, man. Yeah, $54 million
for being a terrible fucking quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy is set for the rest of his fucking life, and he's awful. And when he came out, I was like, yeah, this guy, he's gonna be good.
I thought he was gonna be good. I admit,
terrible.
Fake it till you make it.
Yep. I thought after that Rose Bowl he had, he was going to be good.
Although Adam Gase is a QB killer.
Yeah, he is, man.
True.
Adam Gase is a fucking curse.
Yeah, very true. What else did I want to cover? Ben, before you jump down, we're talking a little bit about the O-line. Samalu is playing left guard right now.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's at right. It seems like, you know, Chooks is at right, Dan Moore's at left. They'll make Broderick Jones work for the starting job, of course, and so on and so forth.
And they should.
Yeah,
they shouldn't hand a rookie anything.
Yeah, yeah, I have no problem with that. We talked a little bit about that. There is a rumor out there that the Steelers are perhaps interested in Isaiah Simmons, a linebacker out of Arizona.
The guy
came out just a phenomenal athlete. He's got incredible size at about 6'4", 230 pounds. And as you mentioned in our chat earlier today, his biggest problem is he's really never had an honest position. They've never really, pigeonholed him into a spot.
And it occurs to me that, I don't know, the role they've had him playing is killing him. He needs to get the fuck out of there. He needs a change of scenery.
Yeah. The question becomes, what's the cost,
to get to Pittsburgh, let's say, right, hypothetically. I don't know. Usually the currency for a player that a team has given up on is a 6.
Right.
But let's just say hypothetically they wanted a 5 from us, as Ian pointed out today, but they were willing to give the player and a 6 back.
Mm-hmm.
That would be okay.
I'd be good with that.
That would be okay because you still have the same number of picks.
Right.
I could live with it.
I could too.
It is the last year of his contract.
Right. Right.
So he'd either be a rental or it would be an audition, depending on, how things worked out and whether or not he wanted to resign and everything else. So you got to take that into consideration too. But yeah, Simmons was highly sought.
Yeah. He was great at Clemson. Yep.
Yeah. And he's an amazing athlete. So, it might be worth taking a flyer on him. I don't know. I can't say with certainty.
Right.
Because I haven't seen enough of the player to really be like, yeah, this guy's bright. Definitely has sideline to sideline speed.
Oh, yeah.
No fucking question.
Yeah.
Can he cover? I don't know. I mean, maybe he can do an adequate job in the flat. That's not real difficult to do. The last guy they had that could really do that well was Lawrence Timmons.
Yeah.
Lawrence Timmons in his prime.
Yeah.
Could play trail on a running back or a tight end and make up the speed once the ball was cut loose and knock it down. We miss having a guy who can do that.
Yeah. I mean, he was unique in that sense. Yeah. That's why when I first saw that story about Simmons, I thought I can actually see it, because I think they're really that desperate to find that guy again. And as you pointed out, Holcomb, I think expectations are going to be very high, but he is coming off a foot surgery.
Holcomb's strength has never been coverage anyway.
Right. Right, exactly. And so, therefore, you're going to put that on Elandon Roberts?
Roberts is a thumper. He's
exactly.
He's built in the same mold that Vince Williams was built.
Yes. And so, therefore, Mark Robinson's not your guy. He's not going to cover.
Mark Robinson is an enigma. I'm starting to wonder if his issue last year was just that he's just not very bright. Mm-hmm. Because he's got the athleticism,
yes,
and he has the physical ability. He's a big hitter. He's got all of that going for him. You wonder what the deal with him is. Hopefully the light bulb goes off this year and he really starts to make it happen.
Yeah, he's going to start running out of time. If he doesn't, for sure.
He's probably got this year and next.
Yeah, I don't know. Early returns on Kelvin Austin III have been pretty good. And again, I stress it's just football and pajamas, boys and girls. He looks good.
Get injured again.
Allen Robinson looks
they
good.
Said the same thing about him last year, this right. time of year.
And, right. Yeah. And, believe me, I'm not.
Dre Archer looked really good too.
Yes, he did.
Dre Archer looked amazing in the preseason too. Against backups, he was God.
Well, especially running straight.
Get him to open space.
There was a punt return or kick return where he reversed field and almost scored in the preseason.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, damn.
Oh, he had.
And then I remember being like, he's playing against third stringers too.
Playing against UPS delivery guys.
Yeah.
No offense to UPS delivery guys who do a wonderful job, by the way. Well, gotta preface that.
You know. Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. But yeah, you know, things are cruising along. I mean, I thought Kenny Pickett handled the question about his podcast appearance with Ben Roethlisberger in a most veteran way.
I thought he handled the whole thing really well.
He did. Like he did.
Like, even in that moment, he was never offended. He just sat there and listened and nodded his head. And he's like, hey, you know, that's cool. Thank you. And, you know, and that's cool of you to like feel comfortable enough with me to be honest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's absolutely cool. That's cool that you invited me on your show and made it all about yourself, Ben. Have a good day.
Yeah. Right, that's his show.
That's his show, man. You know.
It's been his show since 2004.
Hey, you know, there's a segment later. It's all about you, Ryan. So
yeah, really.
Shut the hell up.
It's all about Casey. And I didn't make $200 million for being his quarterback.
And, you know, the other thing, too, Ben's comment doesn't piss me off nearly as much as the fact that he's getting really fucking good at being a podcaster. That's what's pissing me off.
Dude, he's been good at it.
I know, but he's gotten better.
From the jump. Sitting there sipping a beer with sunglasses on, and they're talking about Jesse James not catching the ball. And he's
exactly.
Like, let me see. Who's that against? Patriots. Huh. I wonder why that didn't count.
Oh, he's good.
Like, immediately.
Personally, I think he's been watching this program.
I think you're probably right.
To get some tips.
You did interview him once, so maybe he thought a lot of you.
I did interview him for about 5 minutes. It was great. I'll never forget it. What I'll never forget is when he walked over and introduced himself to me, and we shook hands.
Yeah.
And I was looking about eye to eye to him, okay?
Yeah.
His hand.
Are gigantic.
Oh, my God. My hands are not small, okay? Yeah. They're not huge, but they're not small. My hand disappeared in his hand. It literally disappeared. And I thought, okay. Have you seen
Darnell Washington catch a ball?
Oh my God.
How tiny the ball looks in his hand.
Yes.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. This is
it looks like a Nerf ball.
Big.
Do you think Ben, with his big hands, knew exactly what he was doing while talking to Pickett because Pickett has small hands? Do you think Ben was playing mind games?
He didn't bring up his fucking hands.
I'm just being a dick. Relax. Oh, my God. I thought you'd know my – whatever. Did he keep going like this? This show tonight.
Was he doing jazz hands a lot? Then maybe.
He shook Kenny's hand multiple times.
But the thing, I thought Pickett, when he got into the locker room after the first day and he was asked about it, and he did. He appreciated Ben's honesty. And
he was just like in the locker room. He was just like, this is a fucking nothing burger. Why are you asking me about it? But he was polite in his response.
Yes.
Where, you know, if they asked me that, I'd be like, what are you even fucking asking me that?
The other thing too is, and I just want to say this is, I worked with Ben, and I like Ben. I got along with Ben.
Didn't you sit around a campfire once with Ben?
I have, yes. Yeah. That we have shared beers. He, you know, he has bought me beers. He has all that being said.
Yeah.
He was the king of saying stuff to the media, and then they would follow up and he'd be like, I have no idea what I didn't say that. So it was almost like annoying to a point. So now that he's gone, he still annoys me in that sense. However, I respect that it's a show and I respect that he said what he said. And I just want to say this. It had to have been very hard for him to not be wanted back after all that he did for that franchise. And I know he's a shell of his former self.
Yeah.
But I just want to say this, and I, you know, I'm going to make it about me right now. I'm going to say this, but like, It was hard leaving there. Yeah, of course it was. Like, and I didn't even play quarterback, let alone do anything for that franchise. So, like, and I left on my own terms. He basically was like, yep, yeah, don't come back. You know what I mean? Like, and that had to have been hard for him. So for him to say, like, so for him to, we all know he hates Mason, but for him to say, like, Kenny, like, I like you, but, like, I really didn't want to like you, but I like you now. Like, you won me over. Like, right. It's a cool moment. And, you know, I also think, too, that, you know, I didn't get too hell-bent on what he said, but, like, there were definitely people, and I respect their opinion, too, that were like, oh, he's a diva. You know, he can't let anything. The dude isn't just some scrub. Like, Ben is a Hall of Famer. Like, the guy, so I think, like, you know, if you take a step back and, like, actually look at the whole situation, like, you know, we always want honesty out of people, but when people are honest, we don't like it. So
yeah, fuck yeah, exactly. Yeah, people like, always you want know. You to be honest until you actually are. Then you're a dick.
Then you're a dick.
Yeah. Right. And yeah. Which is why I'm just a dick, because fuck it.
Yeah. Just be yourself, Ben. Just be yourself.
Fuck it. You're going to think I'm a dick anyway later.
You know, I just want to, I'm going to say this and you know, because Ben does get a bad rap and I get that, but like, I, you know, he was good to me and he was good to many people, you know, that attended training camp. I know that for a fact that he, you know, he wasn't out very much, but on those veteran days off the next day, he might've been out and, you know, he picked up everybody's tab at Dino's and Latrobe, if technically
Latrobe.
If you've been at Dino's and you know where Dino's is, you know, there were many times when people would leave there without paying a dime for something. And that's, you know, I know he made a lot of money, but that was very nice of him. So, You know, Ben, I, you know what, I'm calling it right now. I think Ben is, I think not this Ben, not Ben Anderson, but Ben Roethlisberger is actually secretly watching the show. He's got a little alias on the YouTubers over there.
I'm sure he's one of these people. You know,
Steelers freak.
He's probably a freak.
You know, it's probably RB7 instead of BR7. We just gotta keep an eye out for that. But no, like it, you know, I did, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, fucking Ben. Like, but I you know how many times like
right.
Like there is definitely, and I'm going to go try to find the picture. There's definitely an interview where he said something and I rolled my eyes because I was standing behind him. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like the fuck, why did you say that? Like he said something like, you know, the doctor said they'd never seen an injury like this. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And then poor Aditi was like, wait a minute. You said that they'd never seen an injury. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, what? You said it. Fucking said it.
But now Freak says Melvin is the mole.
Oh shit.
Probably, yeah.
It could be. That's Melvin.
Or Big Ben's burner.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Though.
Yeah, that would be obvious. Big Ben's burner would be way too obvious.
Yeah,
I've said this on this show and I'm going to say it again because you brought up fucking Mason. Everybody has people that they've worked with that they didn't like. I have employees now that work for me that I don't particularly care for. So, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes you got to work with people you don't like, and some of them are good at their jobs and some of them suck, like Mason.
Yeah.
Here's what, you know what, I'm going to say this too.
Oh boy.
Ben has never said a bad word about Mason. Never said a bad, he's never gone.
Doesn't acknowledge him.
So what, he's never said a bad word about him. He's never said a bad word about him. He's also just never gone to bat for him. But Mason was asked about that, and Mason had a really Mason had a really good response to it. So you know, whatever.
Was Rudy's response?
He just said he's
very professional.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, he said that. He said. You know, when, you know, I came in, I was younger and Ben was a little bit older and like he said, like, it was probably hard for him to like relate to somebody like a lot younger. And I agree. Like, I mean, I'm in my mid thirties now. And like, you know, I meet somebody like, you know, out of college or
22,
whatever.
And you're like, what the fuck?
And I'm like, get and they have lawn. No, yeah. And like, you know, even some of my cousins that are young, like, I'm like that Steve Buscemi meme where it's like, how do you do, young kids? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, fellow kid, whatever he says. Yep. Like that's how I feel at some point. So Mason might have been like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Ben's like, you're too young. See you later. You know, I don't know, whatever.
You know what?
Aaron, honestly, stir the pot.
I think that's actually a great idea. That'd be fun.
It would be pretty fucking cool.
I think that Mason Rudolph is a genuinely nice person.
Absolutely.
And that is how he always says the right thing and pretty much does the right thing, except for when he's playing quarterback. As far as him being a Steeler, like the dude's likable. I mean, he is. He's just not a good quarterback. And we can sit here, we can theorize why Ben didn't like him or they didn't relate well or whatever the fuck else. At the end of the day, you know, what?
Pretty sure my kid just laughed. I'm pretty sure my kid just laughed at that.
It is. But Rudy, I'm trying to put this diplomatically.
Why bother at this point? Come on.
I just I don't think they ever hit it off, but I think it had more to do with the fact that Ben was like, why the fuck did they draft this guy?
Yeah.
We needed a guy on defense. This is fucking bullshit. Yeah,
it was a
immediately, he was like, I don't like the pick. I don't like the guy. And then he couldn't relate to the guy in the locker room. And it was just like downhill from that point.
Yes.
I'm trying to find a way to put that more eloquently.
No, I think there is one.
The organization, and I mean the organization did Mason no favors.
No,
either.
Man. And they stood up and said, hey, we had a first round grade in this guy. Dude, that fuck. And he's gonna go hold a clipboard for us for a few years.
No, Kevin was an outstanding GM. I think that was one of
his poorer
moments.
That was a blunder
to say that.
Here's a guy that watched Mason Rudolph and James Washington torch Pitt that year.
You know? That's right, he did.
The year that Mason was backing Ben up for a couple of years, and Josh Dobbs was the third team guy. Ben would come off the field and grab the Microsoft Surface and go to Dobbs. And he and Dobbs would go over and discuss what just took place. And Mason was off doing his own thing. And it wasn't that was not Mason's choice. That was Ben not inviting him into the huddle.
But that was not cool. But that was my whole point about that relationship was like Ben never like even acted like he cared.
He just didn't acknowledge the guy. Never.
But okay, I can't believe we're gonna have this conversation right now. But like you hate Mason because you think he sucks at quarterback. But it's like
I don't hate him. I just think he sucks.
Okay, you think he sucks. But
you know
maybe...
who I hate, honestly, and you're not one of them. So I'm just gonna be blunt about this. The people that annoy the shit out of me are the Mason fucking defenders. Are the Matt Canada defenders. The apologists that are out there that say that these guys could be really fucking good if blah, 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 and Tomlin's holding them back. I'm like, do you fucking watch the games? Are you fucking kidding me?
I defend
Mason. Watch this guy for 5 years. He sucks.
I defend Mason personally, but I also think he's not as terrible as everybody thinks. But before Myles Garrett smacked him with his own helmet, he had 4 picks. Like, I can accept that. But I can also accept that he was throwing to guys like Johnny Holton and Cody White. Cody White?
Yes. Wait.
No.
I've watched too many.
Cody White wasn't there like 4 years ago.
Flutter high, giving the DB the time to get to the ball and pick it and or bat it down.
Unable to throw open.
But I'm going to tell you this right now.
Just that. I don't think he believes in his own abilities, so he holds the ball and he won't pull the fucking trigger. He is the anti-Joe Burrow. Burrow is like, fuck it. My guy's there.
Dude.
He's almost going to be open. He's going to go to his break right now, and he's throwing it, anticipating it.
I don't give a shit. Getting I love back Joe to Burrow. Kenny, I don't care.
I'm not saying I don't like,
yeah.
like Joe Burrow.
I
as a player.
It's hard not to like
what
Joe
I am saying is, by comparison, there are guys who do what Burrow does, because Burrow doesn't have a real strong arm. He doesn't. He's smart. He throws the ball with anticipation.
He's tactical. He knows exactly where guys are going to be. And
Mason does not do that. Kenny doesn't do that yet. If Kenny can make some progress, if Kenny can make some progress in that regard this year, he'll be a lot better quarterback.
Yeah,
that has to happen.
You know, my biggest fear,
a fear of mine is that Allen Robinson said
Mason is not better than Mitch.
Yeah, I saw that too, Claude. I appreciate you. I don't know. That's debatable. I don't know. I'm not saying Mitch is good.
He ain't.
I'd have that conversation. Well, but
again, the thing that another conundrum for me about Mason Rudolph is both his parents were college track athletes,
and he is fucking slower than shit
and cannot feel a pass rush and has cement shoes in the pocket.
Didn't he have like the longest rush
in the Lions game?
Did you see it?
I think it was in the Lions game.
Did you see it? The field opened up because they were like waiting for him to throw it. And it was like
my Moses point is like the red.
My well, point shit, is, I'm just gonna have to run it.
My point is, the running game was so terrible that Mason Rudolph had the longest rush.
Yeah.
I think it was in that Detroit tie. He had a scramble for like 16 or 18 yards.
Hey,
Casey Kasem available tonight?
He is. My son is going to get to hear Casey for the first time.
This is a momentous occasion.
Is he up right now?
Fire away, Casey.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, let me take a sip. Here we go. Casey is coast to coast, American Top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was May 25th, 1973. Ooh. Ryan from Pittsburgh is back with us this week, and he writes, "Dear Casey, hello, old friend. It's really good to see you once again." That's, of course, Eric Clapton. Casey, I know you weren't asking, but I consider Eric Clapton as one of the greatest free agent guitarists of all time. He was in, of course, the Yardbirds, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, Cream, the Plastic Ono Band, Blind Faith, Delaney and Bonnie and Friends, Derek and the Dominoes, and when he got tired of shitting gold, he said, "Maybe I'll fly solo for a while." Casey, has anyone ever told you you were wonderful tonight? Let's get back to task here. The Steelers kicked off OTAs this week. It's literally football in shorts, but that didn't stop the Sunshine Crew from telling you that Kenny Pickett, the Steelers' first-round pick in the 2022 NFL draft that went to the University of Pittsburgh, has put on 15 pounds, which equates to him throwing about 500 touchdowns this upcoming season. Speaking of Kenny Pickett, he joined the quarterback formerly known as Ben Roethlisberger earlier this week on the Football and with Ben Roethlisberger podcast. It's a show that consists of talking football and drinking beers. The Steel City Blitz crew has been doing that for much longer, but hey, who's counting? Anyways, during the show, Ben Roethlisberger revealed that it was hard for him to root for Kenny Pickett because Pickett succeeded him. If there's one person that can make it all about himself, it's Ben Roethlisberger. Casey, I can't tell you the number of times he made an outlandish statement to the media, and when he was asked about it in a follow-up sequence, he was like, "I didn't say that." Ben knows exactly what he's saying all the time, even if he's had 15 icy light mangoes. But Kenny handled it well. You might say he handled it with heart, grit, and determination. After all, he's a winner. Casey, I have to admit it made me like Pickett even more. But there's one thing he's going to need to do to really win me over. If he's going to really be that killer that the Sunshine Crew thinks he is and Steelers Nation thinks he is, he's going to have to shed that smile. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Well, Ryan, you definitely made this up about 5 minutes before the show started. But as always, thanks for writing to me. Up three spots this week to number 26, here's Alice Cooper with No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Oh, that's a great tune. Good one. Good one. God, it's hard to believe that was 73. What was I going to comment on there?
You were what, four or five?
wasn't – wait a minute. Didn't Roethlisberger actually had a pretty funny line this week, too. He said something about
– He has several every fucking week.
Well, he does, but he ripped on Kenny because he couldn't finish his beer that he was shotgunning at the concert.
I mean, that's fair.
Now, here's a guy that can't finish his beer when he's in front of
fucking beer.
shit.
Oh, shit. Hey, next week we're going to be off. Steel Sun graduates from high school next week. And yeah, that's going to be good. And
Steel Daughter coming into town for this?
Steel Daughter is coming in. She'll be coming in the day before. And then the parents, my parents will be here. So it's going to be just one big clusterfuck around this place. And and we'll be back a week after that, so just off next week, and you know, so yeah, good times, empty nester just about, and
it's crazy.
I mean, I've basically been an empty nester. The kid's gone all the time as it is, so but please check out the website, steelcityblitz.com. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all those other wonderful things. And, YouTube, obviously. And thank you for everybody. We really, really do appreciate our regulars that come on every single week.
I appreciate anyone who shows up in here.
I do too.
If you interact with us, I really appreciate you showing up.
Don't be afraid to interact with us, because we just have a good time doing this and everything else.
Well, when Johnny shows up, I get to tell him to fuck off.
Well, but Johnny's an idiot. Yeah. from what I can tell, anyway. Dad has a whiskey flask in the bathroom. Dad has a whiskey flask in every room of the house, freak. That's why I go through it so damn fast. But anyway, so again, we'll be off next week, back at it 2 weeks from tonight. And thank you guys so much. And we will talk to you then. This has been the SCB Steelers Podcast, presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hey, go Steelers.
Ravens suck.
Yes, they do.